Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Dee Dee Roberts. I'm one of the pastors here on staff, along with Reverend, I've started to do this, Reverend Nick Schimmer. We are glad that you are here, and if you're a guest with us today, we're especially excited to know that you have chosen Asbury as a possible place for your church home. If you would please take those registration pads, or we like to call them friendship pads, that are located along the inner aisle of the pew. Sign your name and pass those along, and then pass them back so that you have a chance to know who is sitting on the pew with you this morning. A couple of announcements as we begin. Of course, this is the day. We are celebrating Reformation Sunday, but we are also this afternoon going to host our neighbors and friends with Hog on the Hill. So I hope all of you have your trunks ready, or at least in your mind, and they'll be ready, and you're prepared to come out and enjoy a wonderful afternoon today from 4 to 7. There'll be food trucks for dinner. There's a dessert bar, and so that happens this afternoon late. But before that, you have the opportunity also to serve our neighbors downtown through Stone Soup. And so if you're available this afternoon beginning at 1 o'clock, we would like to have you at Quapaw Quarter to help serve our homeless neighbors and friends down in downtown Little Rock. Also, I was told this morning that once again, someone has sent some emails under, it's not my email address, but it is an email address reportedly from me, asking you to do me a favor. And the favor is it will ask you to buy a gift card and then send the number to me. Not bring me the gift card, but send the number to me. It is a scam. I don't know how these people are getting into my address list. No one else on the staff is having that issue. Evidently, Pastor Mary had that issue when she was here as well. Ignore it. Don't even open it. Believe me, if I want a favor from you, I will call you, or I will tell you in the email exactly what the favor is. You know, so don't fall for it. It's a scam. It isn't me. Okay? And if you ever get an email from me and you wonder, is that her? Please give me a call. How about if we just agree with that? Because we cannot figure out how to keep this from happening. So I apologize for that, but just ignore it. And I thought I should announce that this morning. With that, scam and all, we're ready to begin worship. So would you please stand and greet those around you with the peace of Christ.
please stand and join us in the call to worship and the response, which you can find in your bulletin. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Amen. And now remain standing for our hymn of praise, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, number 110 in our hymn book. Children would like to come forward to hear what Miss Laura has to tell them this morning.
Well, good morning. Happy Sunday. I'm so glad that everybody is here this morning. So I brought something with me. Hold on. So in here, I've got what? Well, yes, they're pencils. But what kind of pencils? Plain. What other ones? Short. Plain. Long. Okay. What about this one? Well, what does it say on it? Trick or treat, Halloween. Then I have what? Who is that? A Santa Claus. Oh, and of course I had to add that one. What's that one? That's my favorite. Vera Bradley. Let's see. This one says happy birthday. This one says, it's just a pink one. And what does that one say? Okay, what is, they're all different, but most of them, except for the short one, have what? So you can what? Erase when you make a mistake. And that's like us. Are we not like pencils? Do we all come different sizes, different color hair, different color eyes? We are all different. But you know what? All of our mistakes are erased. And who erases them for us? Jesus did. And how did he do that? Dying on the cross. So today, as an I love you, I brought you your own pencils so that when you use them, when you use them, I want you to remember when you're erasing a mistake that all of your mistakes have been erased because Jesus died on the cross. Amen. For you. Well, you have to sharpen it, Jason. And then you can write. But you know what? I wasn't going to give you sharpened pencils. So, let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for today, and we thank you that you have erased all our mistakes. We just ask that as we go through the week and we go through the year, that we remember as we erase our mistakes that you too have erased ours. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Sing to the Lord. Morning.
Morning.
As we come together for a moment of prayer, a couple of prayer concerns just to keep on your hearts and in your prayers this week. For the Wilson family, Jim Wilson passed away Thursday, and so the family will be doing a private memorial here this week. But if you would, keep that family in your prayers and in your thoughts this week. Keep Joe Wilkerson in your thoughts and your prayers as he continues to recover from what seemed like really invasive back surgery, but he seems to be getting after it pretty quick already. We've already received one email from this week, so it doesn't seem like he's doing a lot of slowing down. But he is recovering, and our prayers are with him. And then with the Roberts family, with Steve and Kelly, Steve's mother passed away earlier this week. Steve is up in Heber Springs with his sister, and so as they make all those arrangements and as they go through this time of healing and a celebration of life, that you continue to be with them as well. Let's go to our God in prayer. Almighty God, we love you. We give thanks to you for this moment, for this opportunity to come together as brothers and sisters in your community of faith, to worship you, to glorify you, to give thanks to you. But God, this morning we arrived here all a little broken and a little hurt in our own ways, God. And we come here this morning to seek rest, to seek comfort from you, that you may continue to work on us and repair us and heal us and restore us to that image that you call us to be. God, this morning on Reformation Sunday, we pray for your global church, for the community of believers around the globe, many who can sit in a church like this with comfort, and especially those who wake up every morning in danger because of their faith. Now we ask that you are with them with a steady hand, with love and grace, and that you just continue to place a hedge of protection around them as they move throughout all these spaces in the world to glorify you and to tell the story of Jesus. God, this morning we pray for those who don't believe. We pray for them, and we pray that as they move through this world, a world that seems inviting and seems wonderful, that they will cross the path of someone, that you will put someone in their way that can tell them all about faith in Jesus Christ and can show them the way to be fully restored to you, to your eternal glory. God, this morning we pray for our leaders around the world. You have put in front of them a mighty task, and may they, in their work, have you in the center of their hearts. May they glorify you with the way they make their decisions. God, this morning we pray for our children here in Little Rock and our children around the world. We pray that you guide us and lead us to continue to raise them in a way that glorifies you, that they know about you, that they know about the stories of Jesus, and may it move and work through all the things we do as we lead them and raise them. God, this morning we pray for those who have nobody to pray for them. We pray that you keep a loving hand of grace and mercy on them. And this morning, God, we pray to you for thanks. Thanks for your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us how to pray with the Lord's Prayer by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to receive our tithes and offerings, let's go to God in prayer. Almighty God, we give thanks to you for allowing us to be the stewards of your kingdom here on earth. And God, you have blessed us in many ways for that. You have blessed us with opportunity You have blessed us with resources. You have blessed us with the story that we are called to share in this world. God, we ask today that you make us good stewards of those resources, of that ministry. And that as we take up these tithes and offerings, God, we know that they are meant to glorify you. We know that we trust you implicitly to put those resources to the best advancement of your kingdom. We ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen.
My faith looks up to thee, number 462 in your hymnal.
Amen.
Our scripture this morning is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 3, verses 19 to 28. You are welcome to follow along in your Bible. I am using the New Living Translation, or just listen and hear the Word of God. Obviously, the law applies to those to whom it was given, for its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. But now, God has shown us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ, and this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in His grace, freely makes us right in His sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed His life, shedding His blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when He held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For He was looking ahead and including them in what He would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate His righteousness, for He Himself is fair and just, and He makes sinners right in His sight when they believe in Jesus. Can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law, it is based on faith. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, thank You for this opportunity and for this moment to share Your word. God, I ask this morning that through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit that You are with us and that this message becomes Your message. But for that to happen, God, You must get me out of the way and take center stage to deliver the message, the missional message that we most need to hear. We ask this in Your Son's holy name. Amen. Well, it is great to be with all of you today. I had a few people come up to me and say, oh, you're finally preaching in the sanctuary. This is my second time preaching in the sanctuary, which doesn't seem all that big of a deal to me, but it dawned on me the other day that on Friday, Pastor Didi and I will have been blessed to serve you for 4 months. And I know that's hard to believe, but like they say, time flies when you're having fun. Amen. And also, it's Reformation Sunday. How many of you knew that? Well, in 4 days, on October 31st, it will be 502 years to the day that a German monk, in an attempt to debate the issues that he felt were major within the church, made a list of grievances, 95 of them to be exact, and nailed them to the doors of the Castle Church in Wittenberg. The nail that launched 1,000 denominations. 502 years, like I said, time flies when you're having fun. And see, for Martin Luther, his intention was not to start some new brand of Christianity. Martin Luther loved his church, but he had seen issues that were causing him great distress, issues that seemed to be too far away from the teachings of Christ that we see in the Gospels and are then reaffirmed in Paul's letters. So often we talk about God's providence. As a matter of fact, we spent weeks talking about it as we worked our way through the book of Esther. Providence, what God is doing in the bigger picture to move His will and to move His story forward. For Luther and his brethren, the elements were just right for a major change. And those elements, that started 502 years ago draw a line exactly to where you are sitting today? And how does that happen? How does it bring us to today? How could something 502 years ago come right here to Asbury on October 27th, 2019? Well, Luther's objections to the church coincided with a very, very important invention, and that was Gutenberg's printing press. See, what it allowed to have happen was his grievances could then be mass circulated and given to the whole populace. And while other distractions were going on, this was able to gain fire and catch fire, and it started an entire movement. Luther also, along with others, was able to translate the Bible into his common language. And because of the printing press, people were able to have the Word of God in their hands. And I don't want to undersell how important that is. If we were sitting in a church 600 years ago, which in terms of existence is not really that long ago, we would not have access to the Word but through the religious authorities. The Bible was in Latin, and the only folks that read them were the religious priests and popes and the nobility. So if it was 600 years ago, you would have to place a whole lot of trust in what I was saying. God's Word is meant to be glorified and enjoyed by all, but it was in the hands of a select few. But now it's accessible to everyone. It was in every language. And fast forward 220 years later, and it was Luther's commentary on the book of Romans, on this very passage, that warmed the heart of a priest from the Church of England, one who was deeply struggling with his own salvation. That priest, John Wesley, in hearing that passage, was able to go forward with confidence about what God was doing in him and through him, and the Methodist faith eventually becomes one of the largest denominations in Protestantism. That's how we get here today. And that is all the history I am going to give you this morning, I promise. However, if you wish to know more, stop by my office. Seminary has dumped thousands of pages on me about the Reformation, and I'll be happy to sell you a book or two. Because as they say, seminary ain't cheap. Actually, I'll save you the trouble. You know what thousands of pages of text and a whole lot of tuition dollars has taught me to understand? That Reformation, real, genuine Reformation, doesn't occur in some human act. It doesn't occur by nailing paper to a wall or writing a book or creating a new theology. Though God will certainly use all of those things, real Reformation occurs in our hearts. It occurs through God's work in us to reshape us and restore us into that right image of God. There is no work we can do and no rule we can follow that's going to lead to that change. Change for us comes in only one way, through absolute, unwavering faith in Jesus Christ. And this doesn't begin with Luther's actions. In fact, it doesn't even begin with Paul's letter, though that letter is important. We'll examine it in a second. It actually begins a long time before that with a revelation by a fisherman. Hear the Gospel of Luke. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" "Well," they replied, "some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." Then he asked, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." This wasn't something that Peter had to be told. Jesus didn't walk around saying, "Oh, and by the way, I'm the Messiah. Hey, it's me, the Son of the living God." He didn't have to read it in some text. He didn't have some scroll, some book that he carried around that had to tell him that. No, Peter knew it in his heart because his heart was being reformed. His eyes were open. This teacher they had been following around was different and lived in a way that was so much better than what they had experienced in the world. So it is in that vein that we turn our attention to this passage in Romans. For the chapters leading up to Romans 3, Paul lays out the issues that lie at the heart of the Roman people, issues that plague all of us in our humanity: selfishness, stubbornness, pride, placing idols in our life, and all the while being so trapped and bound by the law. See, they were trying to restore themselves completely on their own through their own good works. But then, Paul brings the good news. And he starts with two very simple words: but now. Let's pause on that for a moment, because Paul uses that term constantly in his letters, so it must be important. But now, in its Greek original pronunciation, Greek form, is noonday, which when translated literally means in this present moment. I have seen how you are trying to live your life. While you are trying to, what you are trying to do is win favor with God. But now I have something completely different for you. And if you do this very simple thing, it will change everything for you. But now. It's a phrase that is a big door that swings on small hinges. But now, God has shown us how to be made right and how to be restored completely apart from the law. And that is through faith in Jesus Christ. End of story. Can you imagine hearing that for the first time? All of these attempts at living right under the law, trying to be as obedient as you can be, but constantly failing over and over and over. Being blinded by your own stubbornness, your own self-pride. This news of restoration through faith, it just had to feel like a ton of bricks lifted. Like all the burdens carried around, you know the feeling, carrying that weight, you can feel it. You can feel it in your shoulders, that enormous weight of our humanity. This feeling of I'll never be good enough, so why even be good at all? All. Depending on which version of that passage you read the word all a few times. But the word has very different meanings as you're working your way through Romans 3. Paul says that God will deliver righteousness to all who have faith in Jesus Christ. He follows that up with saying, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. He is saying all, as in the totality of humanity has fallen short due to their own sinful nature. And because of that, they can't achieve salvation on their own. But that first all refers to those who will be made righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. Same word, two very different meanings. All humanity has fallen short, but all of those who have faith in Jesus Christ will be restored. Very important distinction there, especially when we think about how we approach our faith and how we approach discipleship. I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about it for a second this morning. What was your but now moment? What was your John Wesley hearing Romans epiphany where God reached in and just tweaked your heart? My but now moment was 8 years ago. And it was in a Bible study. It was in Disciple 1, to be exact. I was reading through the book of Joshua, which has become one of my favorite books of all time because it changed me in such a way. I came across Joshua 1:9. It said, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you will go." This impacted me at that time because I was terrified. I was terrified of where my life was going and how I was going to navigate work. And I had a young, growing family. Just the pressure and the burden of the world was on me. And I had newly returned to faith. And like many of you, I had spent very little time in Scripture. But this passage had opened my eyes and it reformed my heart. And to think there was a period of time where I may not have had the opportunity to read that passage. It was in that moment that I decided I would take my faith, I would not take my faith or this Bible for granted ever again. 1,500 years passed from Jesus to the start of the Protestant Reformation. So that revelation by Peter was lost in a way by the time of Martin Luther. And it happens as the world attempts to pull us away from Jesus. The same for all of you, same for me. We get further and further away from that but now moment. And perhaps we've let a lot of the world get in the way. Maybe you have come here today bogged down by something, by loss, pain, insecurity, doubt. Maybe you find your heart focused elsewhere, consumed or just distracted. Maybe you look at the world around you right now and you're discouraged. I've been all of those things. We have all been all of those things at one time or another. But let the words of Paul wash over you once more. God is calling us back to him. Let go of those shackles that bind you and just breathe, knowing that you have faith in Christ, and that is everything, and it is the only thing. I have one last question for you to consider as I wrap up this morning. What is our but now at Asbury? What is our but now today? See, I think it's tied up in the all. We are the stewards of the good news of Jesus Christ. We know the life-changing power that faith in our Savior brings. But there is the other all out there. The many who have fallen short but do not know the power of that faith. I hear it all the time, and I know you hear it too from folks out in the world. I am not a Christian, but I am spiritual. I am not a Christian, but I am a good person. I once had a Christian tell me about a friend of theirs. Well, he is a so-and-so. He was a person of a whole nother faith, but he is a really good person. And I worry that sometimes as Christians, we have just accepted that and become relaxed to it. And so it pains me because I think that mentality in the world is on us to a degree. And as Christians, we should take a little bit of ownership in that. See, we are all globally interconnected by one creator. But the true unity of all of us lies in a shared faith in our Savior. I think of what Jesus said in Matthew 7, small is the gate and narrow is the road. See, we are an eternal people. We don't stake everything in our life in this world because we know that God has prepared something better for us. But we also know the only path to that eternal embrace is faith in Jesus Christ. So we must consider that as we bump against those in the world that do not believe. And it should drive us to share our faith as often as we can, to share the love of Christ, to show the changing power of faith in Christ to others. It should impact how we worship, how we relate to each other, and how we view our events and view our missions. All through the lens of wanting as many people as possible to experience Jesus. And if we can do that, and we can do that well, we might give him another Reformation worth writing about. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand and join in the affirmation of faith, which is printed in your bulletin and also on page 81 in your hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Our hymn of commitment this morning is I'm going to sing when the Spirit says sing. On page 333 of your hymnal, we will sing verses 1 through 3. It has been a blessing to be with all of you this morning. Our But Now moment begins when we walk out of here, and we are going to have a great But Now moment this afternoon at Hog on the Hill, as so many stop by just to see what's going on and see what Asbury is all about. Through you, may they experience the love and grace of Jesus Christ. As you leave this place, may the peace of Christ be with you. May it carry you through your day and through your week. And may all of those who encounter you see the love, grace, and mercy of our Lord and Savior. Go in peace.